Christmas is the celebration of God become man. Today, Pastor Ray Bentley explains why the Lord chose to arrive as an infant.
Let me ask you a question. Who's afraid of a baby? Does that not speak to us in some way of the heart of God saying, I want to come so small, so non-threatening? God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, we look at the good news of Christmas. God chose to clothe Himself in humanity, the infinite as an infant, deity in diapers. But the real good news is that the baby Jesus would later give His life to pay for our sins. God gave His Son. He not only gave Him as a baby, He gave Him as a Savior.
I want to ask, how many children are here tonight and you are 12 years or younger? I want you to wave. Let me see where you guys are at. All right? Oh, my goodness. Folks, be careful. The place is full of little children. Okay, now on that night, you guys, you know Jesus was born in a manger. There were animals there, okay? So this is kind of a tradition where I need you guys to help us feel like and turn this into, we've got the scene a little bit here, but we need to have some of the authentic sounds of the animals that might have been there. So there were probably, and maybe I'm throwing in a few, but let's start off with some sheep. You know how sheep sound? So kids, I want you all to give me your best sheep sounds right now. Go, let me hear sheep. Not bad. Okay, now, wait a minute. Suppose there was some cows. Let me hear a cow, some cows. All right, what else? Donkey, okay. Let me hear your best donkey. All right, thanks you guys. Now, let me just say, and I want to go through this story because we have these three over here. Now, we know in the Bible it doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. We don't know exactly how many. And the reason that they say that there are three wise men besides the songs and poems is because we do know from the scriptures that the wise men brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so these three guys here, they're traveling from a great distance away. They saw this beautiful, bright star in the heavens. And a lot of people say, oh, you see, maybe astrology was used by the Bible to lead these guys into the new truth or whatever. Actually, the scriptures tell us that a long, long time before Jesus was even born, a prophecy was given. And a prophecy is a declaring of God's word, His knowledge of the future. And God had predicted and God had prophesied that a day would come when a star would arise in the heavens, and the star would be a sign to the world that a king was being born in the land of Israel and from the tribe of Judah and from the Jewish people, that a king would arise. So it was, in fact, that the wise men that are, they did follow astronomy. They did study the heavenly bodies, but it was because they had something in the Word of God and a prophecy from the Word of God that they were looking to the heavens to lead them and guide them and direct them. And so from the Word came the sign of a star, and from the star they followed it from the ends of the earth, and the wise men came and found Jesus, and there acknowledged Him with these three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And without going into great detail, those three gifts basically show that Jesus, as a king, born even as a baby, He was acknowledged from His birth to be the King of heaven, and that He would be a prophet, and that He would be a priest, and that He would be a king. And those three gifts relate to those things. He would be a prophet. In other words, Jesus would tell us about God and the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus did. He revealed to us. Every time Jesus opened his mouth, heaven and the kingdom of heaven came pouring forth. That's why there were miracles and supernatural things, dynamic things, life-changing things happened as a result of Jesus. So he would be a prophet. He would be a priest. Now, you know what a priest is. I'm not a priest. I am called a pastor. There is the gift in the Bible that's called the pastor teacher. But there is a priesthood that is spoken of in the scriptures and a priesthood even of all the believers. Well, the word priest means bridge, or the idea behind a priest is a bridge between heaven and earth. That's what a priest is to be about. Jesus is the ultimate priest. He is the perfect bridge between heaven and earth and between God and man. And the reason is that Jesus is not, and what we celebrated Christmas, is not that he is half man and half God, but this divine mystery that he is wholly human, born of this beautiful birth and from Mary and born of a virgin. But that's the other side of it. He is wholly God. The divine part, the supernatural part. A virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, the very Son of God. So he is all of humanity, and he is all divine. And that's a mystery. I don't know how to explain it, and many have tried. But that's what we celebrate, and that we see that God has revealed himself to us. Now, why did God come in the form of a baby? Jesus could have come. I mean, if God wanted to visit the planet Earth, he could have come in a variety of ways. He could have come, you know, halfway between heaven and earth, lit up the sky, dazzled us with all of his glory and greatness and power and all the rest, and appeared at the prime age of 30 years of age, which is when he began his ministry. Why didn't he come like that? Here I am, I'm God, I'm the Savior, and so forth. Well, there are several reasons. One, of course, he became a baby so that he would grow up and live a life that we could follow and emulate and learn from how God designed mankind to live, how we're to treat one another, and love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and that beautiful merging of heaven and earth. But he also had to become human so that he could die on the cross for our sins. Being a sinner, and without making a big deal out of that theological word, a sinner just means somebody that is even one degree less than perfect. And so, how many of you would agree with me that you are not 100% perfect all the time? Okay? Okay, guess what? That's what it means to be a sinner. Now, think about this. Heaven only has perfection in it. That's why it's heaven. Anything less, if God allowed anything less than perfection and less than perfect love and the less than treating one another perfectly in love, whether to God or to one another or to angels, then it wouldn't be heaven. So we have a problem. We have a fallen world, a broken world, a much, much less than perfect world. And heaven is perfect. Now, God's dilemma is that he still loves us. With all of our hang-ups, with all of our shame and failures and mistakes, and he also knows that sometimes we do things we didn't mean to do, or when we do them, even if we do mean to do it, that we feel sorry about it. And so his heart is very tender and very compassionate. And therefore, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, from heaven to say, I understand that you make mistakes, that you have failed, that you have fallen short of the glory of perfection and the glory of God. And the Father still loves you. God the Father still loves you, and I, the Son, still love you, and I will die in your place. I will take your place, and I will pay for your sins upon the cross. And on the third day, I will rise from the dead. I will live again. I will resurrect. And in me, because I have become a human being, and I as a human being will die and pay for your sins, and I as a human being will rise from the dead on the third day, all of humanity, regardless of your color of your skin or your genealogical background or your tribe or your language or your ethnicity or anything, I will forgive you and make you my eternal son or daughter if you will believe and trust in me, for I am. Now I'm going to quote Jesus here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, but he can if he comes through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, I am the door. All that come through me shall enter into and inherit eternal life. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that lives and believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, you know the stories of Jesus mentioned in the Gospels, that he raised people from the dead. In fact, he raised a guy named Lazarus from the dead 1 week before his own crucifixion and resurrection from the dead. Jesus came as God manifest in the flesh. He came to show us the love of God. He came to show us what it's like to walk with the Father and love the Father and pray and the way we are to treat one another and the way we are to love one another. And this same Jesus rose from the dead. This same Jesus ascended. We read in the book of Acts that after his resurrection, he appeared to many people, all of the apostles. He appeared to more than 500 at one time. And then on the Mount of Olives, he ascended up into heaven and said, I'm going to come back again. Jesus, from that moment, he rules. Tonight, Jesus is Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is King of everything. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of the earth. He's the King of the universe. He is the King of all kings. And he is now watching and waiting. And he has been, here's what he is waiting for. He's wondering which human hearts will open their hearts to him. Now, you know the story in the Gospel of Luke. When Joseph and Mary finally made it to the little village of Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn. They had to come because the government, Caesar Augustus, had said that he wanted to tax everybody on the planet. He said, you guys owe me money. I want you to go to your hometown and pay me the taxes that you owe me. And I have to say, 2,000 years later, it doesn't seem governments have changed all that much. They still want their taxes, don't they? And they'll hunt you down wherever you are and get their due. Well, that's why this poor young couple had to leave northern Israel and Nazareth, where they were from, travel 70 miles while Mary was pregnant to Bethlehem. Because they both, their genealogies, went back to a very special man named David in the Bible. And God had promised that through David, my son, the Messiah, the King, will come. So that's where their family was from. There was a prophecy that in Bethlehem the child would be born. So we see how God orchestrates all the events of history in order to get this young couple to Bethlehem. But when they finally show up, there's people from all over the land of Israel that also have had to come to Bethlehem. And every hotel is taken. Every Motel 6, if they had such a thing, is filled. Every inn, there is no room in the inn. That's exactly what it says. There was no room in the inn. Now, who are we talking about again? God, who came as a baby, and there was no room for him. Again, I ask you, why did God do this? Why did God send his son? He could have been born in a palace. No, it's in a manger with animals. He could have had it where everybody would see it and it would be showy, it would be powerful, it would be dramatic, but no, in such a humble way. This tells a lot, this whole season of Christmas, and why right now there are between, depending on how you count it exactly, somewhere between 2 and 2.5 billion people today, 2,000 years later, after Jesus was born, say that they are followers of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people so long afterwards. He had no kingdom, he had no army, he owned nothing except the cloak on his back. And even that, when he was crucified, the Roman soldiers, threw dice for it. He had nothing, and what he had was his life and his ministry, and that he said, I give to you. I'll give to you my body broken as bread to eat it, that you can have a relationship with me. And you can almost see, here's what I see. The reason that God chose to send his son from the beginning as a little baby is it shows the heart of God. God says, I don't want to scare people. God's big. He's powerful. He's overwhelming. But he loves humanity. He doesn't want to frighten you. He doesn't want to scare you. Let me ask you a question. Who's afraid of a baby? A little tiny baby, so small, so weak, so vulnerable. And what do you want to do with little babies? You want to draw them near to you and you want to hold them. Does that not speak to us in some way of the heart of God saying, I want to come so small, so vulnerable, so approachable, so, you know, non-threatening that the whole world and even men from other nations outside the land of Israel. This is a picture, by the way, of what would happen, because the 2.5 billion people that follow Jesus Christ today are not just from the land of Israel, but from every nation, every language, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, and every color around the entire planet. And it's been that way for 2,000 years. That's what God had in mind from the beginning. God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, what does God require? Very simply, he wants you to believe. This is what Jesus says. For everything that I did and everything that I said and all that you hear about me and all that you know about me, here's the one thing I want. I want you to open the door of your heart and let me, the risen, resurrected, real, living, powerful, almighty Lord, King, and Savior, come inside of your heart. And the question every Christmas as it rolls around is, for many people, they don't have room for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The stories of Matthew and Luke tell us that many people missed it. They missed Jesus. Already we saw the innkeeper, he didn't have room for them. Maybe he wanted to make money and they didn't have any shekels and dollars, and so he said sorry. Herod was afraid of Jesus. He was the king of the Jews, and he was threatened by another king, a rival king. And he was also angry. There are a lot of people that get angry around Christmas for some reason. I don't know why, but the Scrooge personality comes out. Bah, humbug, you know. They're angry and they get uptight because they don't have room for Jesus in their hearts. But there are always some that will open the door of their heart. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come into them. And I will sup with them. I'll have a meal with them. I will have a relationship with them. I will forgive you. I will love you. I will forgive all of your sins. I'll take you to heaven when you die. But I'll come in you right here, right now. For I am king. I have power. I can provide for you. I can lead you. I can guide you. I can direct you. I can take care of you. I can reveal myself to you. I can bring miracles into your life. I can let you know that you are special and that you were made with a purpose. And you can have that for the rest of eternity if you'll open your heart to him. So, I want to give you an opportunity to do that very thing. So would you all bow your heads and close your eyes? Some of you are here tonight and you say, well, you know, here I am, it's Christmas Eve, I'm in church. And I believe in who, you know, that Jesus is who he claims to be. Yes, but do you know him personally, and does he know you personally? What I'm saying is there must come a definite moment and time in every human being's life where you make a decision to have or not to have. By the way, God will respect your choice either way. That's a great thing about God. No one will go to heaven who doesn't want to go. No one will have a relationship with God that doesn't want a relationship with him. You have to choose. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you, but do you want one with him? It's not good enough to go to church. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Being spiritual or religious, in a sense, is a good thing, but in fact, it was the religious leaders that gave Jesus a lot of problems. And he said, you guys don't have it. And I wonder if there's anyone here tonight that says, you know, I do know about Jesus. I know the story, but I've never, what do you do? How do you make it personal and real? I want to say a very simple prayer and give you an opportunity to let Jesus, this is not a metaphor, this is not some kind of spiritual, you know, trickery or just merely some kind of a nice thought, or we're not talking about positive energy that will flow now in your, it's far better than that. It is unbelievably, it's God. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the person and the personality of Jesus Christ that literally comes inside, takes residence in your heart. And that's, you know, then going to church is not so you can go to heaven. Now you start to read the Bible and go to church just so you can get to know this amazing Savior who is in your heart and in your life. So if that's a desire of your heart, I want all of you just trust me and let's pray this very simple childlike prayer. We're going to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, come into our lives, fill us with His Spirit. So let's pray together and pray out loud after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. And I am so sorry for everything I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Thank you for loving me, just as I am. I believe in you. I trust in you. I know that you are Lord, that you are alive, and that you're here with us tonight. So I open the door of my heart. And I ask you to come into my life, to be my personal Lord and Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive the gift of eternal life. Now help me to follow you, Jesus. To get to know you, Jesus, and learn how to trust in you all the way to heaven until I see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, leading us in a word of prayer. And if you've made a commitment to Christ for the first time just now, I hope you'll write and let us know. We'll send you some follow-up materials free of charge to help you get started in your walk of faith. And now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Why Jesus Came, and we'll send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title, Why Jesus Came. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Much of the Bible is history. Prophecy, however, is a glimpse of the future. It's imperative we have a clear, comprehensive understanding of what's to come and how we can be prepared. Well, Pastor Ray offers that in his new book, The Holy Land Key.
All of the signs, all of the seasons, all of the patterns are converging. And I believe that the next few years are going to be some of the most exciting times that we've ever lived through. Challenging, also revealing, and God is going to be glorified. He's ready to pour out His Spirit. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is on the way. And I can't wait for you to read and to hear more about it and get excited for the return of Christ.
Jerry Jenkins, author of the Left Behind series, says Ray Bentley has immersed himself in the land of the book and the people of the land. His challenge to not only study prophecy, but also to live it, rings with the clarity of a bell. He makes an ancient subject come alive, and I found this book riveting and convicting and moving. Get your copy of The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or find him on Facebook, facebook.com/PastorRayBentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more important encouragement for the Christmas season. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.